Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply. How do you do a discovery Bible study anyway? And where do I find the discovery sets, the sets of scriptures that I should use to do one? Today I'm interviewing someone named Ian who discovered an app that is there to help you. It's called the Discover app, and we'll be right back with Ian in just a moment.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you? Are frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com. and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
Welcome, Ian, to the Dare to Multiply podcast. It's so good to have you here with us and to have this chance to have a conversation. I met you in person just not very long ago. Was it a month ago now or a little bit more? But we've been interacting for quite some time, and it's just a great joy to have a chance to talk to you here and include all of our listeners in this conversation to get to know not only you, but the ministry you represent, the Discover app. And tell us, first of all, who are you? How did you get involved in disciple making movements or church planning movements? And just a little bit about your journey. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me to be here. It's really great to be with you. And just to be able to talk about this. So my name's Ian, I guess my journey starts a long while ago. I was a preacher's kid, but I spent quite a lot of time really kind of chatting with God and saying, I don't feel like a lot of the ways that we're doing church are working, and how are we going to fix this? And I really felt like God said to me, it's not your place to fix. It's not your place to fix. But when the plan becomes obvious, I want you to run with it. A few years later, I met who was to become my wife, the lady who was to become my wife, and we were talking about some of these things and some of the things that she'd been doing, some of the things that she was encountering. We started reading the book Miraculous Movements together. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there was a real light bulb moment for me of this is like the Acts of the Apostles, but it's happening today in the world right now as we speak. And this is the way that God is working. So that was kind of my first real encounter with the idea of disciple-making movements and church planting movements. And a real kind of encouragement to me, I guess, that God was still working at grassroots in places that we weren't able to see at that time. But around the world, the church was expanding and growing. So that was, I guess, my first encounter with disciple-making movements.
Wow. Yeah. That's so, I love what you say when God said, it's not your place to fix it, but when it's time to move, move. What great advice for any of us. You know, sometimes we get discouraged thinking about the state of the church or different things, but yeah, it just comes down to obedience to whatever God's speaking. Tell us a little bit about your background though. You've developed an app, but yeah, what did you do before you did this, Ian?
Yeah, so I spent the first I guess when I graduated from university, I spent the first 7 years of my life working in telecoms, working in software for telecoms. And then from there, I went and worked for a large Christian relief agency. I ended up being their IT development manager for a number of years. And that kind of had the, for me, it was like the sweet spot of being able to be working in the kingdom, but also working with technology, which was my background. And then the last few years that I was there in that role, I started saying I wanted to be doing something that was more frontline, that was more church related. We were doing a lot of good stuff. It was all relief and development. It was kind of dealing with the needs of the person, the physical needs of the person, rather than the spiritual needs of the person, the spiritual needs of the church. And so we had that kind of transition after I got married. My wife and I started doing or trying to encourage and seed disciple making movements, trying to start discovery Bible studies on the ground with people. And really at that point, I kind of felt I'd taken a right angle turn away from technology and really more into the church planting world. But there's a, I often quote this, there's an English proverb which says when the only tool that you have is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. So my background in IT was pulling me back. And on a particular occasion, we had met some people, we'd had a weekend away, we'd met some people, we'd been talking with them. And as we came away, my wife said to me, well, you know, we spent a whole weekend with these guys and we never shared the gospel. How would you do things differently? And I said, well, wouldn't it be great if we had the Discovery Bible Studies on a website, and we could have given them a business card with the URL of the website, and we could have shared it with them. We could have started the first study. If they wanted to carry on, they can carry on because they've got the information. So we started looking at that point to see if anybody had done it. And as at that point in time, we couldn't find anybody that had. And so I'm like, well, I'm IT. I can do that. How hard is it? So we built back in 2014 a Discovery Bible Study website in English. We've got some friends of ours to translate it into Arabic. And that was really the first kind of steps, if you like, into pulling me back towards the technology world and using technology for mission.
Right. Wow. Well, isn't it so interesting in hearing your story? And I'm sure there's people who are listening who are at various stages of that, you know, a similar kind of journey, maybe with not with technology, but they've been in business or they've been in an engineer, or they've been a teacher, and they've wondered, you know, how does this fit with the kingdom? And just so beautiful to hear how God kind of pulled you out of it and then put you back in and using your unique giftings and who you are and who God's made you over the years, you know, to create such an amazing contribution in the kingdom. And I just want to say thank you, Ian, for your obedience to God, you know, in being willing to listen and his promptings and his nudgings this direction and that, you know, as you've walked this journey and where it's led you. It's really, really encouraging. Well, tell us about the Discover app and when you started to develop it, what is it all about? There's probably a lot of people listening who've never heard of it. So tell us a little bit about this baby that you guys have developed.
Yeah, so the Discover app is a Discovery Bible Study app. It presents a simple way of discipling people into faith and into obedience, into following God, into being able to start groups, being able to multiply those groups, being able to share that. As I said, the very first thing we did was a website back in 2014. We got that into English and into Arabic. And then off the back of that, a number of people started saying to us, this is great, but we need it in a phone app. My initial response was, why? You know, it was in a mobile friendly website. It worked on every single platform. As far as I was concerned, it was not going to be an issue. But then people started saying to us, yeah, but we need to be able to use it in places where the internet's not very reliable, where the power grid is not very reliable, where people maybe don't have access to a computer or whatever. We would love to have it so that we can download it onto a phone, have all of the content on a phone available. And then regardless of whether that I've got an internet connection or not, I can use it. And so as that that kind of requirement was given to me, that was when we originally developed it as a phone app. And the initial use case really was very much people traveling into remote areas where there maybe was no power, where there was no internet, where people had poor literacy, and being able to sit down with a group of people and saying, hey, can I share a story with you? Put the phone down in the middle of the room. Maybe you've got a Bluetooth speaker with you or not. And then just run a Bible study there and then in somebody's front room in the middle of everything that's going on. And then if people were interested, being able to say, hey, you know, would you like this on your phone? Would you, can I put this on your phone as well? I can Bluetooth it across to your phone. You can share it. And then you can carry on this. Even if we're not here, you can take this to your friends, to your neighbors. And so that's where it started. In 2015, we launched it onto the App Store in Android, in English and in Arabic. At that point, really, I kind of thought that was where we were headed, you know, English and Arabic, that was our heart area. And that was where we were heading towards. But what I found was really once it went live, we then started to get emails from all around the world. And I'm still playing catch up today. I think within about 6 months of it being launched, I'd had requests for about 25 different languages. Most of those languages we've now got into the app. Some of them we still haven't. But since then, it just continues all the time. We're continually getting people saying, hey, can I have it in this language or that language? Now, you know, rolling forward 8 years, it's in 25 different languages. It's on iPhone. There's also a website with all the studies on it as well. So hopefully it's got everybody covered in terms of the platforms that you can use. But we're continually working with people on the ground to identify where new languages are needed. And then since then as well, also working with leaders on the ground, kind of putting them in contact either with ourselves to do training or with others to do training, just to encourage and catalyze disciple making and, yeah, allowing people to make disciples who make disciples around the world and, you know, getting it into the hands of as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's great. Well, one of the things that stood out to me right away was just how it was designed to be immediate usage, where somebody without very much training at all, somebody does a study with them once or twice or three times, and boom, they can grab the app and they can start multiplying it. They can start doing it themselves. And I love that. It's not like it's requiring a lot of extra training, and it was created with that in mind, it sounds like, so that, yeah, it could be immediately put into practice. What I also love about it, Ian, and I've seen a number of different apps that are out there, is it's so simple. It's really, really easy. It's user-friendly and it's simple, and it can definitely get you started on your first, what does it have, 30 studies or so that you've got in it?
Yeah, so most of the languages have the initial 30 studies from creation through to Christ. A few of the languages we've taken advice with the people that we're working with have a slightly different study set, but most of the languages share the same 30 studies. And then in a number of the languages, we then got additional study sets beyond that as well. So we have the Creation to Christ, which is really for people who are brand new to the gospel. They've got no really idea of what the Bible is about, and it gives them the story right from the beginning. Why Christ needed to come, why he needed to die, and then through the story of who he was, what he did in his lifetime, up to the death and the resurrection. So it kind of takes them all the way through the story. And then the second set is Becoming Disciples, which is specifically aimed at people who have gone through that first initial study set. They maybe haven't at that point made a commitment to Christ, but they're still interested. They're, you know, really exploring what it looks like. It's called Becoming Disciples, and it really is trying to outline to people, well, this is what it would look like to be a follower of Jesus. And then the third set that we have in a lot of the languages is Training Laborers, and that is really about giving people the heart for evangelism, giving people the heart for outreach. What does it look like to reach my community? What would it take? And what's my vision? How do I see, you know, God working in my community, amongst my people? And so those are kind of the three core sets that are there in most of the languages. As I said, a few of the languages you look, you'll see that the sets are different. And that will be because we've worked with movement leaders on the ground, and they've said, well, actually, within our context, we want to do things in a slightly different way. So we tend to work with the wisdom of the people on the ground who know.
Smart move. Go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing is, in terms of simplicity, what we've also realized is a lot of our audience is using very, very old phones. So I was recently, I did some training in Central Africa, and I would say every single phone that was presented to me was probably 3 years or more old. Some of them were a lot older than that. Every single one of them had a crack in the screen. Most of them had hardly any memory left because of, you know, they didn't have much to start off with, and there's loads of videos or whatever. So our aim has always been to get the app to be the smallest possible app that it can be, the fastest possible app that it can be, so that it runs.
So
on
appreciate
old,
that.
Because, you know, yeah, you and I might have a really good, you know, modern phone, but a lot of the people that we're trying to reach don't.
Therefore,
we want to make the bar for that as low as possible so that anybody can get it.
So important. And definitely a lot of the people that we're training as well in similar situations, and data is a big, big issue for them, and space on phones. And so good. Well, for example, tell me about someone who would, you know, be able to use the app. We've talked about some people maybe in parts of Africa or things, but what about somebody who's in, say, the UK, and they have these Afghan refugees who've just come, and, you know, they're wanting to do Discovery Bible study with them and looking for a story set and something simple where they can find that. Would the Discover app work for somebody like that? How could it help someone in that type of a situation?
Yeah, no, absolutely, it does. We've seen this quite a lot. As well as having the app in kind of some of the obvious languages, Arabic, Dari, Pashto, Farsi, we've also got it in English, we've got it in German, we've got it in French. And we're seeing that there are a lot of people who are working in big cities in the West, where there are people coming in from all around the world. So you've hopefully got the language there, your own language that you can speak, that you can understand, which gives you a confidence that you know what the material is, and then the capability to sit down with somebody and say, hey, can I open a book with you? Can I share a story with you? Oh, by the way, it's in your language. What we've also seen with that, so one of the things that we've built into the app is once you've downloaded the audio onto the phone, there's then the capability to share that audio via WhatsApp. And so what we'll find sometimes is that you could be running a study in a cafe, if you like, in Stockholm or in London, and that person can be doing the study with you, and they go, oh, this is really, really interesting, and then they can WhatsApp the audio of that study to their friends back wherever they are around the world, and immediately start asking the questions over WhatsApp. Hey, what does this story tell you about God? What does this story tell you about yourself? How are you going to put this into practice in your life? Who are you going to tell? And so they can immediately start sharing that really, really quickly, but with friends, with family, with the wider community. Absolutely. And I think the other thing that I would say is, with the discovery approach, one of the things when I train Christians, one of the things that I'm training with a Christian, which you don't have to do with a non-Christian, but is to say to people, you don't have to have the answers to people's questions. What we're trying to do with this is really let people encounter for the Bible for themselves, and for those questions to enable them to answer their own questions about the Bible. Not that you are sitting there as an expert and they say, I don't understand this, what does this mean? You're always directing people back. Well, what does it say in the story? What does it say in the story? What does that story say to your life now, today? And I think once you kind of get over the two barriers, the language barrier and the barrier of, oh, I don't actually need to be an expert, I don't need to answer this person's every single question, it makes it so much easier to be able to share your faith with somebody else. And I guess the other thing that we'd also say to people is, that you're not responsible for how people respond to it. So some people mm-hmm. will love this approach and they will absolutely share it with their friends and their family, and it will spread. And other people won't, and they will reject it. But actually, you have to just relax into that. Well, if they've rejected, it's not me they've rejected. It's, you know, I've done my part. And so I think it's just giving people that confidence to say, this is something that I can do. It's not something that I have to be worried about. It's just something that, yeah, I can present very, very quickly an opportunity for somebody to share the Bible story with me. And if they want to do that, that's great. If they go further with that, that's brilliant. But if they don't, well, you know, I've not lost anything. They've not lost anything. We carry
that's
on.
That's right.
Interested.
That's so important. And I just did a podcast last week, I think it was, recently anyway, where I was talking about taking the pressure off, you know, that really, and I love that about discovery, the discovery method and disciple making movements is really the pressure's off, you know, it's on God. Our job is to discover where he's working, who he's working among by asking questions and being, you know, curious about people's lives and being willing to enter into those conversations. But there's no pressure on us to provide all the answers because the Holy Spirit's going to do that to them from Scripture itself. So, so, so important. I love you mentioned those two barriers, you know, kind of the barrier or the concern of feeling like I have to be an expert who has all the answers. What if they ask me some really hard theological question? I don't have any theological training. What am I going to say? And then the language barrier as well, which is something that can be overcome through these kinds of simple technological tools that God, God's given us through people like you. So good. Yeah. Our time's going really fast here, Ian, but tell me a story or two of how God has used the app with some real people, to see them begin to multiply disciples.
Yes, yeah, so I'd say with two ones of real interest right now. One came off the back of lockdown, so we had a guy who contacted us right back at the beginning of lockdown, and he had been using Discovery Bible Studies with people in person in cafes in the US, in a southern US city. And he'd just been going out and meeting people. And he suddenly realized when lockdown hit, he wasn't able to do this anymore because he couldn't meet. And so he started to look around for ways of doing this that would enable him to carry on doing what he was doing. And he found the Discover app and actually found our website, studies.discoverapp.org, and realized that he could use this as kind of English as a foreign language teaching. So he put an advert on Facebook to say, does anybody want to meet, you know, in a faith context and learn some English? And he was really expecting people from his city. He was working amongst immigrants, but he was expecting people from his city. But what he found was he suddenly started getting people from Syria, from Kurdistan, from northern Iraq, who were contacting him and wanting to do this. So he started using the Discover app website on Zoom. To run Discovery Bible Studies all around the world, just from his living room.
Wow.
On the basis of a fairly short Facebook advertising campaign. I don't even think he paid anything for it. I think he just put some, little adverts in his Facebook feed, and it via his network went around the world, and he suddenly found himself discipling people all around the world. So that's one story that we love.
Wow.
That's been a real encouragement to us. Another one was a guy in Malawi who found us and he contacted us. He wanted some training from me as to how to do this. He'd had the app, he'd looked at the Discovery Bible Studies already, and but he had very, very poor internet connectivity. He wasn't able to come on Zoom. So in the end, I said to him, look, I'm doing some training with some Nigerians over Zoom. I will put my phone next to my computer on WhatsApp audio.
I've done that.
You can listen in.
Yeah.
And I seriously do not know how much of that training he heard because his connection was poor, and it wasn't the best method of doing it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a way of training people.
Do what you got to do.
And then about three weeks later, his phone died completely, and I lost contact with him. Right. We lost contact with him for 8 months. And then after 8 months, I had this message from him, and he said, hey, you know, this is Samuel in Malawi. Do you remember me? Can I have a chat with you? And I was like, yes, of course, I remember you. How's it going? He said, I've planted four groups. I've got 40 guys who come to faith.
Wow.
We are doing Discovery Bible studies with them. And so off the back of that, we were able to go and visit them, do some training. That group has now gone on to multiply many times. They probably have over 80 groups now across the West.
80 groups, now, 80.
80, yeah. Wow, in the space thank of the about Lord. 18 months. And I think for me, that's just been a major encouragement, seeing it take off in that way. But I guess my reflections from that is twofold. Firstly, it shows that, you know, even with poor connectivity and if people get the DNA, if they get that kind of, oh, I want to create multiplying groups, that is absolutely possible. The other thing I think that it really speaks to me about is about spiritual hunger. And one of the things that we encounter a lot is people saying to us, well, I've tried this in this context and it's been really slow, and I've heard stories from somewhere else where it's really taken off. What's going on? And to me, there's a big aspect of this which is about spiritual hunger. And so in Malawi right now, in certain parts of West Africa, we've got guys that we're working with, and they can literally turn up in a village and start a discovery group in the space of half an hour. They turn up, they find some people sitting under a tree, they say to them, hey, would you like to, you know, hear some stories? They start talking about it, and by the end of the afternoon, they've got a discovery Bible study going. And then, you know, within a couple of weeks, that's an ongoing thing. Within a few months, it's maybe multiplied out. But the reason for that is because people are absolutely desperate for the gospel in those countries. And then there are other parts of the world where that just isn't the case, where, you know, you might take months to find an individual who's interested. And even if you find somebody, yes, they might set up a group, but they might struggle to multiply. Because the spiritual hunger in that nation is not the same. And so I guess to me, it then leads me into the other aspect of what we do, which is not something that happens inside the app particularly, but something that we're very much encouraging people to do outside of the app, and that is prayer. And my big prayer always is, if you're looking into a nation and you're saying, okay, I'm not seeing the fruit here, is really, really banging on God's door and say, increase the spiritual hunger in this nation, increase people's need for you. And then hopefully, as we see that situation change, as we see that spiritual hunger growing in a nation, then we will find the Samuels in that nation who will then suddenly go, actually, no, I can start this with you know, four groups of 10 people and multiply out there.
So important. Yeah. And I think for many who are listening, who are from Western nations, there can be that frustration. You know, I've heard, I was talking to an American pastor. I was telling him this amazing story from overseas. And he said, I love and hate hearing those stories. You know, they're amazing, but I want them to happen here and they're not yet. And it frustrates me. And so I'm so glad you talked about that, you know, and the role of prayer in cultivating that spiritual hunger in our nations. And yet sometimes I believe, I don't know what you'd say to this, that there are pockets of spiritual hunger that are undiscovered by us. You know, as we're out there and we're having these conversations, you can come across this spiritual hunger or a pocket of spiritual hunger in a particular city or people group or area of town that you never went to before, or, you know, something like that, where God is actually more at work than we sort of can assume. Especially, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it could be like, well, I tried to share with five people, nobody in this town is hungry spiritually, you know? Yeah. Well, there's thousands and thousands of other people here, you know, who haven't heard and who you haven't tried yet. So it's kind of that balance, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I know, I mean, we've got guys that we've worked with in West Africa, and they can, in the, kind of that sub-Saharan belt, and they can go into a city and start a group, you know, within a day. And yet if they travel 200 miles north, they struggle to start anything. And it's the same people doing the same thing. And the difference is absolutely just about the spiritual language. It's not about the technique. It's not about what they're doing. It's not about the message they're sharing, because they are the same. And so I would absolutely say, yes, there are pockets. Always there are pockets. And God is not, there is no nation on earth that God is not working in. You know, he's always working. He's always drawing people to himself. And part of our challenge, I guess, is to find where that is. One of the great things about technology is that it's given us the capability to reach people in a way that maybe we weren't able to do that before. And so, you know, I know people who've been using Facebook or Instagram to put really simple adverts out there to just kind of test the temperature and say, you know, would you like to study this? And yes, you might get a lot of pushback. You might get quite a lot of negativity, but you just have to ride out the wave of that and pray for the people within that who come back and say, no, actually, no, this is something that I'd be interested in, because there are always going to be people who are interested in faith. And what we're finding increasingly in the West is that they're not looking to the church for answers. And so we have to go out and find them in places where they're active. And yeah, engage with them in different ways, in different places, at different times.
Yeah, so true. Wow. Well, how do people get a hold of it? You mentioned the discoverapp.org. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yeah, so if people go to discoverapp.org /get, that will actually take you directly to the App Store, appropriate for your phone, and download it onto your phone. You can get it straight from the Android Google Play Store or for the Apple App Store as well. But yeah, discoverapp.org /get is probably the easiest URL to get it from.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. And we'll put that in our show notes for those who watch this later as well. And yeah, one last thing, question is just any encouragement, or you've been encouraging throughout this whole thing, but any particular encouragement that you would give to someone who's maybe just beginning to explore using Discovery Bible Study, discipling their neighbors, trying to start their first group? What encouragement would you have for someone in that kind of a context?
I guess I would say two things. One would be just go with the process. So look at how it works and run with it. Even if you think, I'm not sure this feels too simple, or I'm not sure I get why this would work, just go with it. And what I would say is, I've been doing this now for 11 years, and I personally continually get massive insight from doing Discovery Bible Studies with people all the time. Personal encouragement. I will do, you know, I've done Discovery Bible Studies as training with people who are seminary level professors. I've done it with people who are recovering drug addicts. And I would say in every single encounter, there's always something that comes out in terms of God speaking to me. People who have encountered, who've looked at the Bible their whole life, who are starting to say, gosh, I never realized that God said this in his word. He's never spoken to me this way before. So absolutely trust the process, go with it. And you will find in your personal walk with Christ that it bears fruit for you personally, even if it doesn't bear kind of fruit beyond that, it will do that. And that is, you know, a good thing in its own right. And then the other thing is that you will find that there are some people who don't want this. So one of the things that I find is people will come to me and they would say, I would love to reach my husband, my son, whatever. Will Discovery Bible Study work? And the answer to that question is, it depends. If they're not interested, then the answer is no, it won't. And that doesn't mean we don't stop praying for those people. It means we absolutely carry on, but it's not a magic bullet. What Discovery Bible Study is good at is where there are people who are spiritually interested, giving you a basis for a conversation with those people that enables them to start exploring this for themselves. And that's what we're looking for. And hopefully, and my hope and my prayer is always that as people who are spiritually interested start engaging with this and coming to faith, start seeing their lives transformed, then those other people, the ones that we're praying for who are harder to reach, who are rejecting it, start to see that transformation, and they start to say, well, that's really interesting. It's worked for them. You know, why would it not? It's not a magic bullet, but it is an incredible way of engaging people who are interested and taking them to a point where they have a really strong discipleship and the capabilities to share that with others.
Right. Yeah, so good. Not a magic bullet, but an effective tool that's been proven all over the world and worked in so many contexts. And I find, you know, especially for those who wouldn't go inside a church building easily, you know, it just provides such a simple way to engage with scripture in a non-threatening kind of way, in a living room, in a coffee shop, under a tree, wherever it might be. Many times people from other religious backgrounds are hesitant to go inside a church building because of what it might mean for them with persecution, or maybe they're Westerners who've been turned off by the church, but they would be interested to talk about scripture with you in your home or at a coffee shop or something like that. So good. Ian, thank you very, very much for your time today. And thank you for developing this. Thank you for letting the history that you had of technology and all you had learned as a software developer come and cross section with your passion to reach lost people. And I think that's just a beautiful story, how God's used you and is continuing to use you in powerful ways through this app and other things that you're probably working on and developing. But thanks for being with us. And to all who are listening, go look at the Discover app, discoverapp.org/get. And if you don't have it on your phone yet, you need to download that, take a look at it, see if the language groupings that you're involved with are there. And if they're not, you can write to Ian, your email or whatever is probably right there on the website, right?
It is on the website. There's also a contact form inside the app. If you fill that out, it will get to me.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks once again. And we'll be right back in just a minute with a wrap up.
Thank you.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multipliers Mindset today.
All right. Well, a quick wrap up and recap. God wants to use your unique background, your experiences and talents and the skills that he has placed within you for his kingdom. And there is a sweet spot where those things come together for you as they did for Ian in the development of the Discover app. Such a powerful tool that God has used because of who he uniquely is and him being willing to listen to God and bring those skills and bring those things to the table as God spoke to him about what he was supposed to do. I hope you took that away and you heard that from his story. We also talked about how tools that are most effective are simple and immediately reproducible, that we can overcome both the language barrier and that barrier where we think we have to have all the answers, the knowledge barrier. Through simple discovery Bible study, we don't need to know all the answers because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to people through scripture as they discover for themselves. And you can point them back to scripture when you don't have the answers and say, well, what do you think it says? And what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you read this, right? But if we get the right DNA of multiplying groups, it really can begin to multiply all over the world. It's happening through people who are spiritually hungry. I loved what he said about spiritual hunger and how if you aren't seeing fruit and you aren't seeing it, quote unquote, work in your area, get busy in prayer, because prayer is huge in developing that hunger. And also look for those pockets of spiritual hunger. So don't stop having conversations and give up, but look for those places where God might be at work in your area as well. He also mentioned that DBS or Discovery Bible Study or his app are not some kind of silver bullet, that it will work sometimes with people who are hungry, and many places around the world it is working, but it's not like this silver bullet answer that will always work everywhere. But trust the process. Let God work. And the discovery process is an effective tool that's working in many, many places. So what's your action step, my friend? If you do not yet have the Discover app on your phone, go to the Google Play Store or wherever you download your apps. Just put in the Discover app. You'll see it there, and you can download it or go to www.discoverapp.org/get, and you can grab that app. Put it on your phone. Check it out. Look at what different languages are there and see if it's going to be a possible useful tool for you, at least to find the story sets that you can use and explore, but maybe even in some other languages as you meet people around you who speak those languages that are represented on the app. You might use it to give it to them so that they can start Discovery Bible Studies themselves as well. God bless you guys. We'll see you back in the next episode. That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog, on social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.